morning, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the very last meeting of the portfolio committee before we rise. And honorable Blanche, I don't have a budget in my office, so there's no gift for you when you retire. Only the best wishes that I have, that you enjoy your retirement and relax and just forget about politics and concentrate on your family. Yes. We also appreciate the work that you did. Sometimes you made me a little bit upset sometimes, you know, but the debates were appreciated, vigorous. You always put me on my toes and I appreciated that. That's okay. Yeah, whatever we I wish that, so I will always miss that at least there's somebody who says the most funniest things to me all the time. Yeah. And welcome our minister and his delegation headed by the DG. And I must say that members came back very beautiful. I don't know what happened. There's something that happened. I'm told that he's got a new friend. It was said by Inyang Nkulu Magubane that she's got a new friend and the person looks so radiant and beautiful. So, honorable members, I know that in your yesterday's document, there was a document that was mistakenly put there on the NYS. It was actually a document that I requested for my own personal perusal. So you need to concentrate on the presentation, the slides that have been distributed to you today, because that document is what I need to just look at and then make my own comments before we can discuss it. So we are so fortunate that today, before the presentation of the budget by the Minister of Finance, we are honored by the presentation that the Minister of Public Works is going to make about EPWP. We all know how important EPWP is to us for job creation. Therefore, government has finished the first phase and is entering the second phase. I know that the minister will speak mostly on the principle of this program, and will all in the house in the afternoon listen to what the Minister of Finance will say in relation to budgetary commitments towards this program. So we must bide our time, Minister. Today, that let's get an overhauling amount of money as compared to what we had last year and in the previous years. So let's, I know he was in the cabinet, it's Wednesday today, so we just dressed him just to address us. So be kind enough to allow him to leave after he has made his presentation. Any other matter will be addressed by the DG and his team, and then we can ask them further questions. I hope that suffices, honorable members. So without any further delay, let's give to our minister to take us through the document.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me say to Mr. Blanche, before he disappears off the radar, him and I still have some unfinished business, which I'm sure we'll engage in the next week or two. But also thank him for the contribution he's made in Parliament. I used to watch the exchanges between him and Yanni Momberg, who used to be sitting on our side, and Mr. Blanche on the other side. And they used to really make for lively debates in the House and interjections. And I'm sure we'll certainly miss that. Chairperson, thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. More so the team led by the DG and the acting DDG. And the COO are present with us this morning. And I want to say from the very onset that if there is anybody that understands the value of what Parliament can do and make in terms of contribution to what we do in the executive, it is certainly working and having a good relationship with our committees in Parliament. We value that. Of course, it is a pity that from the time that I came in as minister, we haven't had much opportunity due to Parliament's program. And then secondly, in terms of the election date now being announced, I think we all know where we have to be. And that's accounting to the broader South African society in terms of our campaign. So I do find that as an element that was missing, because I think if the executive is to function optimally, we need to bounce a lot of our ideas and our thinking off the parliamentary committees so that you can enrich our processes. But let's see what comes out of the 22nd of April, and who knows what might happen. But certainly I hope those that follow will see the value of these interactions with portfolio committees. And I would certainly have loved to have gained more experience from the committee, especially being a new minister. But I certainly do value the little interaction we've had, and I have certainly learned a lot from these interactions. Chairperson, I'm briefly just going to thank you very much for understanding our situation in terms of the cabinet commitment. There are still two cabinet committees that are sitting, and I'm part of both of them, and we're making inputs. And I would certainly want to be released as soon as I've done my bit, but it was also in terms of coming to support our team and just giving an outline of some of the issues. I've paged through their presentation. They will go into a lot more detail than I'm able to, and a lot of the technical data, and it would be very useful for the committee to apply its mind and to give us their thinking and advice on some of the issues that we want to address. But just broadly, I would like to say that we're all aware the targets of both the work opportunities that we're wanting to create between 2009 and 2014 are 4.5 million. And when the team presents, they will give you the breakdown of what the thinking is and the planning that's gone into this particular process. I think it's important that we also always remember that Public Works is an employer of last resort, and that we are not, as we would like to see ourselves, the creators of permanent jobs or decent jobs. I think we've got to find another model to do exactly that. I don't think the EPWP is the model that we would necessarily want to say, let's tamper with it because it wouldn't lend itself to that. I think we've got to find another model, and certainly we are looking at other models that are available, and we are working feverishly on them so that at least by the time the elections come, some work has been done. And if possible, we would like to even see some financial resources committed to the other model that we think can create a little bit more sustainability and long-term tenure and security for people in some economic activity. And we have to explore those models, and they're very exciting models that are available. But I would also like to say that in terms of the medium-term budget policy statement, certain figures were committed in that period. We know that there have been two revisions since of our budgets, but we are still sitting well over 4 billion being made available over the MTF period for the funding of this expanded public works phase two, which is, I think, sufficient money to get us going. And the most important thing about the EPWP 2 is that it's going to demand of the National Department of Public Works to look at the whole structure of government across line function departments at the national level and across the three spheres moving downwards, so that in fact we get a good idea of where coordination needs to take place. Now, as you know, we have our fingers in education when you talk about early childhood development. We have our fingers in home-based care, which is also the role of social development and health. So we have to straddle a lot of departments, both nationally and vertically when you talk about provinces. And the biggest focus is where delivery takes place, and that is at local government level. And you'll see later in the incentive scheme that the incentive scheme is targeting both provincial and local government level. And you'll also see that we have got checks and balances in place, which is a mammoth task. We've discussed it within our department, and we've discussed it at several meetings, because when you have an incentive scheme, it's like somebody working on commission. You have to have the checks and balances to make sure that you set the targets and that you monitor that the targets are met, and then you make sure that the incentive is paid, because that's part of the package. So what it talks about is efficiency, and it talks about all spheres of government being driven to meet their targets and their objectives. So it's not an open-ended thing that, you know, by the end of 2014, we want to look back and say, well, was it 4.5 or wasn't it 4.5? And then we quibble about what we think it was. Also, we want to explore how these incentives can go back into this particular program so that they're not used for other things. As we know what happens in the other spheres of government, funds are easily reprioritized in terms of what they think their needs are. We would want your advice on that. What is your thinking? When you understand the complex incentive model, I think we must target where we are talking about labor intensive so that we create those work opportunities. And if you think about it, in local authorities, we've become overly mechanized, which is expensive. So when the self-driven mechanization, like a grader, doesn't work or we don't have money to fix it, we've thrown away the tractor that used to pull the old model grader, that used to pull the wagon, that used to clear the buckets at night, that used to take the trailer that had the waste collection on it. All those have been thrown away for better and more modern technology that, in fact, when it breaks down, we can't afford to fix it. I've been to a number of municipalities and seen very expensive equipment lying there. Municipalities don't have money to fix it, and if you just looked at what that would cost to fix, you could turn that into jobs, for instance, food for waste, and you could create a good couple of hundred jobs just clearing the town, cleaning up, and you'd have waste collection. So it's about us going in and assisting. And in this regard, what we've done is we've met in every cluster committee of cabinet. We've participated in the presidential coordinating committee, where DG and Stanley and the other members of the team made a very good presentation. And we listened to all the premiers of the provinces responding to the input. I must say, Chairperson, I was a little bit taken aback when I got to understand the different levels of understanding of what EPWP is actually meant to do. And then we decided, and it was a resolution of the Presidential Coordinating Committee, that we would have a roadshow with all the provincial cabinets. And we emphasized this, and we got commitment to this at the Cabinet Lahutla, where we then presented as a cluster. We presented EPWP Phase 2, and in that particular presentation, we got agreement from all provinces that they would allow us a slot in their cabinet meetings to present the expanded public works Phase 2. Now, this is the first time this has happened. It's normally been left to MINMEC, but my view is after my interaction in all these different structures, it became very clear that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing in the provinces. And unless we get total buy-in, for instance, if you're going to have an MEC of education who's building schools and not looking at what possibilities exist within IDT or EPWP, then they go out and they do their own thing. As a result, in one province, 22 schools were decommissioned. They blame us, but we had absolutely nothing to do with it. In fact, it's not our competency. So we see more than just the opportunities that are envisaged here. If we can get government at all different spheres and across different line function departments, if we can get them all to cooperate and buy into the EPWP principle, we think we can exceed the numbers of 4.5 million jobs in that particular period. But it's a matter of buy-in. There are turf issues, there are all sorts of problems that go with it, but we are more than confident that there's a lot more growth in the social sector, that we think we can play a role in. And of course, as you know, when it comes to working for water, we work together with other departments. I think many of you know the integrated way in which EPWP has unfolded in the first phase. But linking that, performance, efficiency is going to be our target in terms of the program needs to start the first week in the new financial year. And to achieve this, I've already addressed the NEC of SALGA, the Director General, Stanley and myself were there. We've got total buy-in and approval from the NEC of SALGA. We considered that the most important sphere of government in terms of the expanded public works program. As you know, we are now going to the provinces. And Chairperson, I would like to say that either yourself or one or two committee members, we do have serious budget constraints. But I think if one or two committee members can assist us and accompany us to some of these cabinet provincial meetings, or members from those provinces across party lines make themselves available so that you can also be our eyes and ears as to how things are happening and what we agree to. Because it's going to be important that we also look at best practices in provinces. For instance, the Western Cape has a database where you can actually pick up who has been through the skills development program, what the level of skilling is, and we can use that. We want that database at the national level. We want to be the custodian of that database. Provinces can have their own, but we must be able to say there's a hospital going to be built in Moretele municipality, therefore, how many people have we skilled in electrical work, bricklaying, whatever, whatever. Of course, not excluding and only going back to those, but tapping into that skills base that's already there. So I think that's important. We have our challenges with Department of Labor in terms of coming to the party in terms of the skills development. A letter has been sent off to the Minister of Labor. The Director General, myself, and myself have discussed this. We've got a plan in place, and we're going to stop at nothing. I just reminded the Minister of Labor this morning when he reminded me about NEDLAC. I said maybe that's a good meeting place for us to take forward this issue of how you are not playing your part in skills development. Because if you begin to look at the figures, and I'm not criticizing my colleague, but if you look at some of the figures that are available and they're unspent, then we should be able to say, you know, we can help you spend that money. And also just thinking out of the box with BPWP, when I listened to the Minister of Finance presenting to the PCC, he made a comment and he said, in land care, the drawdown in terms of the division of revenue in December was sitting at 25% expenditure. So 75% was unspent in December. Now let's talk about land care. Let's just think very carefully. Is fencing not land care? Are some of the EPWP projects that we are running not land care? So, but for them to give us the money or for us to tap into their budgets is like trying to, you know, come up with a major peace accord. Now, we need to be able to say to those departments, so we need some kind of eye over these other departments and say, we see that you're battling to spend on land care. Can we assist you? Show me a rural community that doesn't want fencing, for example. Just show me one. And there's 75% funding unspent. Now, those are the things we need to pick up on. That's why I'm saying that whilst we have what is planned here and is on paper, if we think outside the box and we really put our heads together, I think there's a lot of room for further improvement and even increasing without going necessarily to back to Treasury to say, you're giving us 4 billion plus, but we need another 2 billion plus. You will find that within government departments, there's a lot of room for improvement. So I think those are some of the exciting challenges that we have. Chairperson, we will also, in terms of our media, once the budget has been finalized this afternoon at 2 o'clock, or when the Minister of Finance says, Madam Speaker, then of course there's no more embargo. Then we are free to go out and really market EPWP too. And we would certainly make sure that we do a fine job of this. Already we're speaking to a number of community radio stations. Give us your advice, what you think we can do, so that in fact we market this and it becomes EPWP 2, mustn't only be limited to, and I see you wearing an orange top, thank you for that, in support of EPWP. Well done, well done. Somebody's betting for us. I think we should make it a household name, that when people think of work opportunities, they think public work. And I think it's a fantastic program for us. Chairperson, I think I've basically covered most of the issues. If I haven't, my team will make up. I couldn't be flanked by a better and more competent team this morning.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I did indicate that we will release the Minister immediately after his presentation, because the most intensive presentation will be made by the DG and his team, and I need to also assure the Minister that, of course, we will accompany him to the cabinet briefings and provinces. We'll always avail our members with the limited resources, of course, we have. And we'll try very hard to see to it that we attach members who come from those provinces to attend this. It's very exciting for us, of course, and actually you have already addressed some of the things that we would have wanted to deal with, especially the consultation with Salga. becomes very important because the implementation happens at the level of local government. So thank you very much for making time and coming here. It's always appreciated. You are released.
I was given this article by DT this morning. Public Works Program is a stimulus that they need. And I think it speaks for itself.
I hope members will go and get that and read it. I have not yet received my papers.
And if you look at Obama's package, I think they copied from us.
Yeah, from us. Thank you. Okay, DT, welcome to those members who just arrived. You can take us through it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Before DG, you continue, Akona, who is here with us? You can see that we are full house. Is it possible to get an indication?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Honorable Committee members. Madam Chair, before even going to the presentation, I'd like to preempt a question from the committee and also preempt the response to that. The Minister touched on some of the issues. The reason we withdrew the NYS from this, we were asked to come and present on EPWP Phase 2. And in generating the presentation, somehow they put in data that is as old as August last year. And we didn't come prepared in terms of the consolidated data. And Minister, in his opening statement made mention of some of the hurdles we are encountering, i.e. Department of Labor, and that's why the figures are the way they are, and we're sorting that part out, and we humbly ask that we do what we are asked to do, which is EPWP2, and if the committee so wishes, perhaps we can provide data on NYS at some other time, if that's acceptable to the committee, and our humble apologies for the miscommunication on that. Thank you, Chair. The target has been met a year before the 31 March 2008, and we're not going to labor on that, on EPWP1. We are hoping to contribute significantly in terms of halving unemployment by 2014. Cabinet approved EPWP2 in June last year. The business plan was first presented to a cabinet committee, which Minister referred to now, and also to the Presidential Coordinating Council, and the business plan was again sort of endorsed at Lehota for implementation, paving way for us to begin the consultative process with various stakeholders. The 5 million means what was initially allocated on the MTF. Word out is what will be confirmed later will be 4.2 billion over the next 3 years. So that there must be no confusion in terms of the figures. And the 4.2 billion is actually linked, and you will see the next slide, is linked to the 4.5 million created opportunities in terms of EPWP2 in the first 5 years. So there will be a drawdown in terms of how that will be. Okay, Minister touched on the PCC, allocated was what we informed. But as we go down, where it is, when we were looking at confirmation of the E&E document to Treasury, the figure we saw there now was 4.2 million. So 4.2 billion. So let's rather work on 4.2 billion, or if there are adjustments later, we are amenable to those. We can do corrections once that has been confirmed. Create 2 million, what we call FT, full-time equivalent, jobs for poor, unemployment people in South Africa. And that's the equivalent of 4.5 million. The 5 months, what you call the 100-day work opportunities in 5 years. Next slide. The critical success factor for PPWP2 is to make creation of paid work the primary objective of the program. We will always remind the committee about the employer's last resort, so that there must be no confusion between the fact that our target is the unskilled unemployed, and hence you find the related administrative processes. Now, if we were looking at last resort for the skilled unemployed, it's a different ballgame. So I wanted that part to be well understood. Accountability is work creation targets across all spheres of government. Minister touched on that. We will be consulting all the spheres of government to ensure that. We will also, in the presentation at a later stage, include the non-public sector and private sector component. We align... Sorry. Let me just see that one. Okay, I've touched on that. And then, yes, next one. I'm trying to rush for the time which ministers spend, so if I'm too fast, members will take me back. Oh, it's fine. Okay. Targets and accountability across government. Each public body has annual employment creation targets. And these are some of the hurdles we normally meet. Once you have a multi-sphere target, it means there must be effective stakeholder management because the inputting by other spheres helps the delivery model. And that's why Minister also touched on it, and I'm also touching on it, that in the branch itself of EPWP within the department, we've got an M&E branch component. And in the department, we've got the overall. We are looking at both those entities to improve their capacity to ensure that we don't come back and say we couldn't perform because another sphere couldn't give us input and whatnot. Political and administrative heads commit and held accountable for achieving these targets. There are various committees where we do so. MINMEC, every time we sit at MINMEC, all provinces together with ALSCA, SALGA, are expected to present in terms of what they were given as target and what they met, what are the hurdles, and what role can the department play in ensuring that part is corrected. The fiscal incentive minister touched on it. The 50 rand for every person is defined as a stipend and not wage. You will find that there was a figure. This is the figure confirmed. And I want to explain to members here that when we send a motivation to National Treasury to cost this, we say, give us, for an example, 80 rand. 80 rand looking at minimum wage, but that's a wage and not a stipend. Treasury will come back and say, in terms of the tools or instrument you use, it's a stipend. It used to be at an amount, say, 40 rand. The escalation is 50 rand. In terms of percentage, it's within that budgetary model they use. So if you ask 80 rand, you're asking for 100% escalation, and it's not allowed. So those are some of the things that I wanted the committee to understand before we even go. And again, if we are to amend it, because I don't think it's accepted, once we have defined it as wage, then it means we must go back to negotiations with Labor, NEDLAC, and say, we now want this stipend to be amended to a wage. And then we can sort of use it accordingly in that sense. Next slide, please. Non-state sector, we mobilize capacity outside the state, the NGOs, CBOs, non-profits to create work for EPWP targets. We will focus on range of activities, funding provided on the basis of wage incentives. That's a model for that. And there's a table that we're going to present to show you the targets. But also by way of example, we have now also been asked at the level of Cabinet Lakota, at the SALGA NEC, to go and target parastatals such as ESCOM, Telkom, AXA, and say, what is it that you are doing to contribute to this program? Because what they do, they will tell you they have an order and they have a target, and they will use conventional methods to actually put in place their infrastructure. But they are still a parastatal, they are state-owned entities. So in the coming financial year, we'll be looking at ways of creatively bringing them on board. Of course, there will be challenges, and we will keep the committee informed in future. The technical support spheres, Minister touched on that, and the fact that we will be doing our best to ensure that we capacitate it. We'll be going to Treasury to ask for more money to do so. In a business sense, if you've got 4.2 billion over 5 years, addressing 4.5 million would-be beneficiaries, there's a percentage attached to that budget. And I'm sure if you can take 4.2 billion share and you attach it percentage-wise to the capacity in-house, in the department, at municipalities, at provincial level, it does not even constitute 0.5%. And it does not make business sense. So those models, because that's the language which Treasury understands, we'll be trying to work on it. Overall targets will be distributed across all spheres. we will be going back to tell them that you cannot expect us to perform miracles on a bigger budget with a smaller unit at all levels, be it province, national, and at local government. Those are the targets. Each public body has a clear target for each financial year. It is clear which programs and activities. Targets are adjusted annually but looked at every quarter in terms of being compliant, and that's the M&E role. Targets are calculated by applying an employment factor in terms of the SPE over the million rands to grants received by public bodies. Respective political and administrative heads, again, are held accountable to that concept. And the unit itself within the department manages the setting, monitoring, feedback process of performance and relation targets. So in other words, when we come and present, we'll present from our own point of view, from the point of view of the province, local government, non-public sector, private sector. Now we're going into the tables that will sort of map things out. First 5 years to period ending 2014, the targets for the local sphere is 500,000 in 5 years, and those are the breakdowns each year starting from 1 April this year. Province, that's 1 million. National, 225, because we're more of a policy body, and the fact that the implementation itself, it shows where it's located. And the new element, non-state, is at 278, taking us as our figure to about 2 million in 5 years. The 100-day work opportunities, again, broken down in that field, local, 1.1 million, provincial, 2 million, national, 700,000, almost 800,000. Because we have regions, ma'am. You know, when you look at Department of Housing, it's fine, it can be adjusted from time to time. What we can do is perhaps to agree on a model that let it be a competitive type of environment. The one that performs, which can become an incentive, will then be downloaded as we monitor per quarter in terms of that. So that if you were meant to achieve in a quarter 30 and you did not, you did 10, we'll automatically trigger it to go to the relevant. Those are the examples in terms of, I'm sure members are aware, the type of what we do when it comes to the EPWP in terms of infrastructure, in terms of environment, in terms of the social. Those are the targets. And they are premised on how we delivered in the past. And some people will come back and say, the beneficiaries are expected to exit at some point in time. So if you look at social only, and you don't particularly look at infrastructure or economic, it means you are not building entrepreneurs. So those are the targets that we have. But again, as they are performed, it will then give the spin-off. The fiscal incentive, Minister touched on that. When we had a meeting with NEC of SALGA last Tuesday, they really wanted to know what is the view of the department if, for an example, the first 3 months of their quarter, they overperform? Would the incentive mean given more and do that? So those are the models that we are looking at. Not only incentive in terms of money, but incentive in terms of based on performance as well. Well, that's the question. But there are those that are actually role models, and our Kamuso Awards of last year actually, the one municipality that won that award said they don't hear the department sort of saying that's the example, that's the role model, and they want to be qualified accordingly in terms of that. The 4.2 billion I alluded to earlier, and that's what we will be confirmed, but it's expected to grow to 5 billion. Or it's expected that somewhere along the line, this administration, Madam Chair, must be in a position to say when we go for budget adjustments and we've performed exceedingly well, we must be able to put a very good motivational case that will allow the escalation of the budget so that we don't just talk. The work itself must present a case for us. Eligible public bodies that want to participate will now be able to enter, and in terms of the instruments, which those guidelines will be developed and presented and shared to say how do then people qualify in terms of that. And those are the basis of measuring EPWP performance. Number of FTEs, I touched on that. Each public body must meet minimum eligibility threshold and be guided by those guidelines. And the incentive is not paid out for work created below eligibility, but paid for all work created above the threshold. So in other words, you must be the super performer in terms of agreed standards. So I touched a bit, that's more clarity in terms of the eligibility, the agreement, and the appropriation of funds. And again, that word, which EPWP workers may not be paid less than 50 rand per day. I hope when the committee asks us that question, the committee members will then be aware that it's a political issue that can actually be discussed. Those are some of the figures in terms of the performance for 2007/8 and how it came about, the payment threshold, the performance targets, the entire province collectively, and for infrastructure only, and the new targets for 9/10. If you read the infrastructure only, and then on this, if you can show in terms of, those are the new targets now, indicative, and the quarter percentage that will be monitored. And the other thing that we also did, now that we've got some of these, just for the sake of a going to the local sphere, members will recall that, or members will know that our budget starts 1 April. They are start 1 July. When we met NEC SALGA, we asked them that instead of waiting for 1 July to start with the program, which is a quarter later in terms of our targets, we were asking them to make adjustments now in quarter 4 of the previous budget so that they don't perform in July. They start performing in April, but adjusting their targets for this financial year. They said they're going to sort of look at it and come back so that they must not say to us, wait until we start with our next financial. So it will improve. Allocation to municipalities have been included. At least additional ones, 15, are expected to become eligible this financial year. The total projected incentive allocation is at now 200 million. We did not put a comparative figure for last year. My apologies for that. The target for municipalities is now 66,000 full-time equivalents. What's the percentage? The increase. No, the increase. That's the adjustment. That's what I'm saying. We're supposed to say 201 for this financial year, comparatively speaking to last year. We'd be able to give you that percentage in terms of... Most eligible municipalities are already reporting on EPWP management information. This is the part which we touched on now, which will also see the introduction of non-state sector EPWP. The wage incentive will also be provided to the NGOs, CBOs, so we'll see them coming to the fore in terms of performance and how we're going to interact with them. The 80 million of wage incentive has been allocated for this sector for the very coming financial year. Perhaps what we may need to do at a later stage is to just unpack it as well, just the way we did with provinces and with the local authorities. Remember, it's new and we're negotiating, so the figures could not be sort of, they are what we call guesstimates, and we'd like to give you factual data. It will, however, be managed by the department with oversight from other key departments, but will be implemented with the assistance of an intermediary. An intermediary will come within government in the form of MINMEC, at parliament within the portfolio committees regarding other key departments in the program. Two sets of programs will be implemented to those who are area-based and activity-based, and they will include, generally involve large range of activities as identified in consultation with community and local government and tied to that sort of service level agreement. Technical support, I think Minister and I touched on that, and areas in which technical support will be provided, developing plans to meet targets, and agreeing on those terms, identifying suitable projects and programs, and again, agreeing on them and what's top priority in the timelines, design of projects and programs, implementation support, and the reporting model. In addition, the unit itself will also be able to support the public bodies. Our proposals for a way forward. One is that targets have been set for all public bodies. An EPWP unit will, together with the provincial coordinating departments, be briefing all public bodies. Minister touched on it. Minister touched on us going to the premier, Madam Chair. What Minister omitted was that it also involves the six metros, the district councils, and when we go to provinces, we will agree with provinces which rural areas or rural municipalities to target, because I think those are the key, because we would not want EPWP to be urban-biased only. We want it to be very rural-biased as well. So those agreements will emanate from those consultations. And some of them will happen even before meeting the executive council. We're finalizing the operational and audit procedures. We will start on 1 April promptly, and we'll embark on a countrywide briefing program. And then I've touched on that last part. In conclusion, Madam Chair, is that the employment creation remains the key priority of government, and EPWP remains the most important vehicle for government to directly create employment for the poor, stroke unskilled, and unemployed. Strong political leadership on EPWP has proven to be critical in phase one. The program will be equally important in phase two. What we did not do in this presentation is to politicize things a bit. If this committee, together with the general population of South Africa, regard EPWP 1 to be a huge success in its form, there are two schools of thought. One would say continue with it as if it's EPWP 1, or the other one will say be creative and begin to differentiate between exposing beneficiaries to job opportunities and or to creative jobs. So technically, we should know what are the implications. The implications are, if we continue on the line of exposing to creative job opportunities, there will be no changes except just to increase capacity, do things as they were. Because why fix something that is not broken? But if we say, sweeten it a bit, create permanent employment, not 5 months, now 2 years, 3 years. It means there's a lot to that. We must now go and change the stipend to wage. We must go and negotiate. We must go and say how much of that money in the 5 years will then be allocated to that to pilot. So those are some of the issues which I think Minister alluded to, and those will be discussed. But it's doable. This department can take any directive, be it from Cabinet, be it from Parliament, to say, begin to embark on that process, provided there's a budget. Then we'll be able to do it. We can create that capacity as soon as possible. The strong political leadership, of course, will be required in that regard, because we cannot come and say things and then we cannot implement them unless there's political decision making. The introduction of a framework to increase accountability in terms of the program itself, the performance, incentive to reward performance, and increase budgets for those that are performing is expected to plunge. From where I stand as the accounting officer chair, one example I can give you is that if people are, I used to enjoy traveling by rail. I mean, every time I drive in South Africa and I see the areas where we used to have those old steam trains, and now you don't see the railway line, you see the weeds having grown over those railway lines. It's another department, it's not us. But, and I think there was a story captured in the Sunday newspaper about the state of railway lines. And it is not this government or the government after 1994. Railway lines began going down in the late 80s. And by 92, they were already gone. From 21,000 square meters, Madam Chair, we now have in South Africa 9,600 square meters. The rest, if you go to Paris, you won't see the railway line. If you go to from Stekstrom to Maclear, you won't, and it used to be. Now, that's one area, because it's very expensive. where at some point in time government should say, Public Works, whilst we are thinking how to revive this sector, can't you begin to say the people who moved out of EPWP and are unemployed, you begin to say, go and remove the weeds, go and try and fix some of the wagons that are not, that can be fixed and all of them. It's just a mapping exercise to create permanent employment. But it's not for me to say it yet. It will take a number of years to actually come up with a workable solution there. Madam Chair, I think I came to the conclusion of my presentation, and I hope it met the expectation of the committee. We are now open to comment. I'm not so sure whether my team, the Chief Operating Officer, are you comfortable that the propaganda I sold representative? Are you fine? Yes. Thank you, madam.
They will be comfortable because you discussed it amongst yourselves. You said this is the line. Thank you very much, Chief. Honorable, I don't think Honorable Manulek, Honorable Huang, you have to order, Honorable Khatib.
Mine is a very simple question. Because of the challenges across all rural areas, why would they want to go for specific rural areas? Because you said you check with your provincial with the premier which rural area to target.
Thank you, Honorable Juan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you for DG's presentation. But my concern is, my question is for this 50 rand per day per person. I don't know this one, first of my question. This 50 rand per day per person is for just incentive for jobless or the job creation. I think a lot, your last point that you say, this regarding for job creation is different policy because it is not covered to the wages system. Yeah. This is my first question. Then the second question is regarding for...
Understand that, did
I don't know. I'm trying to understand that it's 50 rand.
Yeah, he is asking whether is the 50 rand an incentive, like a patent, or is it regarded as a wage because there's no wage system in that.
And for the second question for regarding for public body, this identify for public body, especially for the now we're talking the EPWP 2. I don't know if the EPWP 1 is very successful or the any problem like that due to the our period we are oversight to the this district and the municipality. Even from provincial level, I don't know. Is that from DG side, the department side, that you quite understand from this level? They fully understand for EPWP is the government is from the national side is achieved for the this order to the this level or not? But now we come to the EPWP 2. So from this one, you want to incentive to the this 50 rand for the 4.2. billion and the cover for the 4.5 million people for help that is the incentive. But my question is, this incentive, because these people only can work in 100 days, and the 4.5 million people, after 100 days per year is the 265 days, what they can do it? Because this 100 days, before they take a chance, coming working is 100 days, they have the opportunity to go training for ski or not. Because due to the research skill, you pass to the public body. This public body comes from the rural area mostly or from the urban area. This is my big question. Thank you.
I hope you understood that. There's three or more questions in that. First is, whether have you asked us that the EPW1 was successful, especially at local government level, and what was the role of labor? And then secondly, is this 100-day opportunities, the good incentives at 50 rand for 4.5 million people, and each being allocated to the allocated 4.2 billion, and whether at the end will this people really have skills? That's how I understood it.
Yeah.
Is that okay, honorable member?
Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the first comment I'll make is to appreciate the report as given by the Minister and the DG. I think it is very precise and to the point. But what I want to go to is the issue of the EPWP1. Yes, we appreciate that it was able to achieve the target it set in 2004, that of 1 million jobs. But we know the shortcomings thereof. The stand of the job itself is a huge challenge. So from the success which is there, I think that as this committee will appreciate a situation whereby that situation can be improved. It is good that with this EPWP2, there is more depth now which is being applied into the principles of the first EPWP1. But what I want to say is the issue of capacity. Because each and every, there's one thing which is lacking, the problem with our government in particular, is that we tend to chop and change very quickly without stabilizing the first part, did we make the thorough analysis thereof, so that when we move a step further, we don't lose what we had before as we move forward. And then what I also see that when I speak about capacity, I can see that this one is also going to rest on the municipalities. As we know that the municipalities are having difficulties to execute their mandate themselves. Is the capacity going to come in the form of those people who will be working in services? Will they come from the department itself, or will they be part of the organogram of the municipalities? Because if they become part of the organogram of the municipalities, we might have problems. In the Sunday newspapers, we learned that one municipality where allocation was made for water and packet eradication, it was used for the other program, which is for sports program. It was so pathetic. But here we've got a serious issue here, job creation. So how are we going to ensure that every penny which we put in there is going to go where it is intended to go to? And then question number two will be the issue of the non-state sector. If it is critical to manage the state sector like local government, when you go to the CPOs which come and disappear at any time, how are we going to ensure that the allocation which is made to them is really going to be used for what it's supposed to be? Or how are we going to ensure that the targets which have been set, I can see that for the next 5 years it's going to be 278,000. How are we going to ensure that those targets are met? Because I can see that those targets are added to the overall target which is made by government. If you can clarify that aspect. And then the other issue will be the issue of the municipalities. I can see that there's only 45 municipalities which are part of this project, which are going to be included in that. What was the criteria of identifying those municipalities? What were the criteria of identifying those municipalities? Were those municipalities under project consolidate, which don't have capacity? Are they part of that? Thank you. I'll come later.
Thank you. Is there further questions? Honorable Matuma and Honorable Tawani.
Thank you, Chacha. Baba Khadebe, some of the questions that I was going to ask. Perhaps just to add on the question of the investment that has been done in phase one, are you able to graduate some of those people who invested in phase one so that they are better off in terms of understanding the concept of EPWP and be able to move swiftly in terms of achieving your objective in phase two? Because you have invested quite extensively in phase one. Are you just going to lose those people because you were saying that they were in phase one and starting fresh in terms of your program? Thank you.
I think the Chairperson, as some of the questions have already been touched on, I'll touch on the monitoring system by the department as really with we know what happened to the to EPWP one. We're aware of what happened. As how are they going to monitor this? This is this one, EPWP two, and are we going to have maybe the feedback processes like quarterly reports, half yearly reports, or what? Thank you.
Question? Madam Chair, I made a note. Yes. Perhaps because over the years that I've asked for worker days and worker months and years to be included into this program so that you can monitor it, eventually happened. Somebody heard my cry. I want to congratulate the department to say to them, I think this is now where we should be, where we really can get some results. And I'm very excited that you will now be able to at least see what you are doing. Talking about 100 worker days per year means 2 days a week. People will be working and be earning income. And that's a good start. That's an excellent start, because I think once you've achieved that, you will then also find that they can now be upskilled as far as their skills are concerned to start working on more sustainable jobs within what they are doing. And I'm excited, hoping that you will then also realize a week or so ago it was mentioned that men can now be pensioned at the age of 60. So maybe you can bring some of those men back to oversee what the programs are and to get this off the ground. Now, I'm excited, ma'am, and I wish the department all the best of luck.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments?
Level?
If there's some clarity on one of the information that we've received, there's no indicative allocation for three provinces in that list. Can you just explain that to me? Thank you.
You were on it.
Yeah. No further questions? Can I just make comment? I don't have any questions.
Chair, you are going to hear the voices now of the acting DG for EPWP and the COO, but before they come in, it's just to highlight that the challenges in terms of the rural areas and how we target those, whether do we need to go and only concur with a province instead of that. In terms of the way we do things, if out of necessity in a particular rural area, it must get attention and it qualifies as success. That's the criteria we use. So it's not specific. So it's not like we wait for somebody to come and tell us. Once a particular rural area is qualifies to be sort of catered for in terms of this program, it will become priority one. So it's upon community needs.
Okay.
That's how it's assessed. It's just that we're saying in terms of protocol and in terms of the constitutional imperatives of involving the three spheres, that was the best way of going there. When we meet provinces, we will be in a position to say, but this area that you are saying is a priority, in terms of the guidelines, it's not. Can we then engage? So those are some of the things that we'll do. The stipend issue and the 100-day, you will do that. The non-state sector, CBO, NGO, disappearing and coming on board. I think what's going to happen is that there had been a cry in the past from CBOs and NGOs, and members of the committee will know that, where they were saying, pit us against municipalities and we will perform. The thing that we will sort of try and guarantee in the guidelines are the checks and balances of ensuring that the one that is qualified will be indeed taken to task if it does not. But we will be guided by our quarterly reporting system, because it will, in the service level agreement, it will say you do four things. Quarter one is one. You failed on quarter one, we can start saying we will only allow you to try and recover it in quarter two, and if by end of quarter two it's not done, it's cancellation. So it will be in the agreement, so that people must, it must just be understood that it will be done like that. Investment in phase one, can those be grabbed and be used again? I think we'll have to go and look at it. What we had is that EPW phase one had beneficiaries. Beneficiaries were meant to be trained for a particular period, exposed to job opportunities for a particular period, and then they go out and perhaps they are on their own or they are absorbed elsewhere. But once we go back and there is still this huge demand to go and do other people, it might be unfair. It must be understood by this committee that the 1 million was drawn from an appetite of 8 million. So if you go back and you tap from the 1 million that benefited, you actually affect it. So those are some of the things that perhaps politically can be viewed. What we can do, and this is what that's why I referred to what happened in other departments. It's once another department has an appetite to use our people, perhaps that's the channel where we can then sort of locate them. Okay, Sam, can you perhaps take firstly the COO on the worker day, I think, and the one that you wanted to take?
Thanks, Sir Person.
Okay, thanks a lot. You know, Chief, the reason why I'm asking this question is only this is that the intention in phase one was to kill people, and the government has invested quite extensively in that regard. And we kept on asking as to whether you do have a database that can assist you so that you don't have lost skills in the mist. In that phase one. And as a department thereof, you'll be able to say to whatever department that needs such skills, you do have a database that can be utilized to channel those people. So that's my question. I'm not referring to your department, but broadly as a government, because we have invested to those people. So that mustn't just be happening to me. Thank you.
Okay, that's putting a good way in another department to absorb people who are not absorbed elsewhere. I think that's something that we can look at.
Thanks, Chairperson, Honourable Members. I just want to confirm that the skills transfer program in terms of NYS and EPTEL program. And the Minister has also alluded to the fact that Western Cape has a very magnificent database. Nationally, as a department, we do have records. We can actually term that a database to the extent that we know how many people were skilled in which particular components of, like in terms of infrastructure development, maybe as plumbers, painters, whatever the case might be. So we are certain that that information is available. And as you are aware that the Cabinet has approved the National Infrastructure Maintenance Strategy, we have a program in public works called the Repair and Maintenance Program. That program deals with...
Would you suggest that you don't speak to anything that relates to NYS and maintenance issues, because
yes.
We're going to come back to those issues.
Okay, no, that's fine. So that's what we conduct to the question is, we have the database in terms of the people who have actually been skilled. And then the other question which was raised was as to whether as we go to phase two, do we have the technical capacity internally as well as with municipalities? Yes. We have a technical support program that assists municipalities. We have also scheduled a review to see how are we going to roll out phase two in view of the capacity that we have and the capacity that municipalities have, so that we can synchronize that to the challenges that we will be having. I also want to respond to the question that indeed we have a monitoring and oversight system and confirm that we do have a way of producing monthly reports as well as quarterly reports and annual reports. And we have also confirmed that we have done the midterm review so that we can determine how far are we moving in terms of achieving targets or not. So we'll be able to provide in terms of phase two those particular reports and keep the committee quite informed on a regular basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members. Now I'm going to respond to just a few of the other questions. Just in mind with regards to the 50 Rand wage incentive. What we're talking about here would be the money paid per person day of work above a certain threshold. And we've conducted very technical studies that we intend, as we go on the rollout, discussing those, the target setting, incentives, scheme, that will be explained in detail to the implementing bodies. But the point that I want to make here is that the 50 Rand is actually over and above a certain threshold. So what we are saying is if a particular implementing body, let's say a municipality, has performed well according to the budget that they have received from Treasury according to the MIG, for instance, we determine you should be able to produce X number of FTEs, full-time equivalents. That is the gap. But if you have overperformed, it shows that you are actually putting in extra and therefore you will be rewarded for the overperformance then per person day of work. So that's what the incentive scheme is there for. Now, if I can just link that particular question to the very last question that was asked with regard to the zeros on the slide that I've put up here, you will see these are indicative figures because we had to, in order for us to access the funding we had to provide to National Treasury, very clear scientific base. So what this slide is saying is the three zeros here, based on the current performance for those three provinces, they would actually not qualify for any allocation based on the way that they have performed on the data sitting in our database. But they have said, we're talking about an incentive scheme, therefore they would receive a nominal amount of 500,000. You'll see for all three of those, that's 500,000. And that's where it comes from. So once they perform beyond the target that they have, in terms of the budget that they command, once they perform beyond that point, they will qualify for much bigger incentives. That covers the 100-day work period. Mr. Blanchet was right, that's 50 days, that's basically 2 days per week per year, because a full year for work would be something like 230 days of work. What what we want to emphasize here, we are looking at, would be regular and predictable work. And we are seeing, based on phase one, you would be familiar with the program Zibambele in KZN. And that program has, we have taken lessons learned from that program where women, were, mostly women in households, they are involved in road maintenance programs. They have actually started even with saving schemes. They've moved beyond that. So, and what that tells us is rather than looking at a 3 month period, continuous work, if you have regular and predictable work over a long period of time, poor people can plan around that. So we don't say that's the ideal situation, but that is what we have learned from our studies in terms of that. And that's why we have set that as a minimum threshold, saying at least I'm there for work, but obviously we would hope that people would be employed for a longer period of time. We just answered the question with regard to the non-state sector and how they will be monitored. If I may just add that we have put in place, or we're in the process of putting in place, a thorough audit system, so they will be accountable, and we hope this, so there won't be a way. Actually, that's on a quarterly basis. Before monies, before the incentives are paid out, they actually have to report on our system, MIS, and based on that, they will be refunded. So nobody will be running away with money. We are very aware of our responsibilities in this regard, and DG's accountability with the money that will be coming onto our vote. I think the other questions have been covered here, unless there's a follow-up with regard to detail, perhaps.
Thank you. Before I make any comment, honourable member, can we check whether there's follow-up questions? Honourable Koko is there, Honourable Huang, and Honourable Khadebe in that order, please.
My follow-up, thank you, Madam. My follow-up has to do with the 500,000 allocation. I'm looking at Limpopo. A couple of years ago, the then minister Stella Stau paraded Gundalash as a typical example of the success of the Expanded Public Works program. What happened in that they dropped so low? What is it that they didn't do right, or that they didn't continue to do right in order for them to be such a failure? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Mr. Chairperson, it's my question that there's still no answer to me. Regarding for the 50 rand for the per week, 2-day working, for example, this one, my more concern for this 4.5 billion. This department will be spent for this 4.5 billion rand for 5 years, then for go to the 4.5 million people working for every week, 2 days. 3 years, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. But my first concern is you still not answer my question. This is a job creation, or the only for incentives for the jobless people. Because this is very important. If these people working every week only 2 days, after 4 days, 5 days, what they can do it? Because no training skill. And also you say this 2 days is a distribute to the 1 year, it's 100 days distribute to the 12 months. This is a big concern. Because this every week working 2 days, then they haven't got a chance to go training for skill. This project only can take a project for 2 days for cover for 1 year. I don't think so. Because this project may be only 3 to 5 months to finish. Then after this, these people is carry on for the 2 days. I don't think so. This is right answer to me. Thanks.
Okay. Thank Honorable Khadebe and Oparamana after a break. We need to have breakfast. It has been waiting for us outside for quite some time. Then we come back. Take those questions. Break for 5 minutes, something to eat, and then we continue. Can we have a. We just to get the stuff outside, then we continue.
Chinese is improving. I opened the door, and there were no people. So I didn't, and it was fine.
Thank you. Can I speak to her, please? No, Norman, I was speaking, phoning in connection with the post for science teachers. I'm phoning from Cape Town in Parliament. I wanted to check whether there are any posts around Saratona for science teachers, mathematics, science and technology. There's nothing.
Yeah. the world continues to hire people and pay them money, except for South Africa.
You know,
and then you trust the woman in
the world. And in Amari, there are two types of people.
There are those who will come in the country. They won't go by a company or by interviews to be into media. Those are the people who need them. And by a way, but they want Amma direction from them. That sense is not what they mean. By Bulala.
You, we are the
And all you can do is they speak from the manager. If you take from the spectrum to my clear, you can
have all the need to do is
connect in a solo IM touch, and in a second. And then you will kick out of all those numbers you want to have. You can go. You can go Jacob's Dale in Zimba, 50 kilometers away. You tell Lala. You know that piece of my Bulala
delivery.
No,
The kitchen was too hot.
Thank you, honorable members. Let's please sit down.
Roger, sit down.
May we please sit down? Inyanga enkulu kuyahlalwa ke ngoku. Thank you. Let's give Honorable Khadebe an opportunity to ask a follow-up question.
All right, thank you, Chairperson. I'm still on the slide. This one which is in front of us here. And then I can appreciate that the issue of zeros was explained. But then what I'm also afraid of are the allocations for KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape and Free State. If you can see the base from which they come from and the amount in which they'll be allocated to, are they going to be able to effectively manage such a huge jump? Now, usually when we speak about performance, realistically, when a person improves by 50% is good. But you can see that from 16,55 pounds to 112. From in the Free State, from 5 million to 30, are they going to have that capacity to move forward? Or
well, don't say that about the Free State, please.
So, I hate to see it failing. That's why I don't want it to end up like goulash when things are good and then suddenly it went down.
Goulash is good.
All right. That's
so I'm not happy with what you said because I'm happy that we get more.
Chairperson,
it's just not in connection with the 18 million. 18 million is not a lot for the NGOs and CBOs. It will, of course, be spread over the different provinces. Do you have an idea what the allocation for each province will be? And, of course, if there must be proper monitoring. Did you budget for monitors, for the monitoring process? And the CBOs must know beforehand the quality that is needed for them to receive monies from the department. I hope that it will be spelled out to them very clearly what you understand at least. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you?
Honestly thought I had explained that because it's a new terrain that we're embarking upon. We did say we're going to look at instruments, ensuring delivery, compliance, and all of that. I touched on it, but that's exactly what we're going to do. There will be proper M&E, and they will be sort of consulted beforehand. And I also apologized when I did the presentation that the spread in terms of which CBOs, NGOs, and so on. Because we are still consulting, we could not present it here, but we'll do it. Stan will answer this one, but my recollection about from 11,716 to 11,240, just for KZ and Hazel. Members are kindly just reminded to look at EPWP1, where did it perform? To a great extent and extend and publicize. It was in KZN. I mean, that the baby girl is not apologetic about certain things. We used him for international visits for everything. There was a time where they spent, I'm not so sure whether it was in one financial, where they spent 1.2 billion and using women in the upper development with other, they've been performers. And so are the other departments. And I'm going to allow him to share whether that's the truth. But my understanding is that
you mustn't bring him here. We don't want to see MCs competing. My MCs will perform better next time.
Next time.
No, no. What I meant is I'm going to bring in Stan to concur with me that it's premised on excellent performance in the past, hence the jump. The other thing, the jump is because other provinces had a gap. They were unsure. And hence, that uncertainty sort of benefited those that were excellent performers. Mr. Wang's question and the 500,000 allocation, I think we did not answer that one, so we're going to try and do that. Stan?
Thank you, DG. With regard to the incentive scheme, just to set a few things straight. We're talking about different figures. We're talking about 50 rand per day as an incentive scheme. We talk as an overall target of 4.5 million work opportunities and available for the incentive scheme over the MTF, 4.2 billion rand. So incentive scheme 50 rand per day, 4.2 billion rand. The 4.2 billion rand, and that's where maybe earlier didn't come across very well. It should not be linked like directly, like 4.2 billion rand to pay for 4.5 million people. No. What we are saying is the normal budgets will be used. We then say, if you command a budget, let's say for argument's sake, you command a budget of 10 or of 100 million rand, and then based on the nature of the project, you should be able to create X number of work opportunities, let's say for argument's sake, 200,000 work opportunities with 100 million rand. That is a given. You do that through your own budget. Because you have, you see that budget, let's say for the provincial infrastructure grant, you get it, or you get your municipal infrastructure grant, that's what should be created. What we are saying, if the threshold is 200 million work opportunities with that money, whatever you perform, if you create more, well, whatever you create beyond the 200 million, or the 200,000 rather, work opportunities, that's what when the incentive scheme kicks in. So it would be incorrect to say 4.5 million work opportunities and 4.2 billion rand over the MTF. And I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear. Just to say, so if I can just move back to this particular slide, for instance. This is based on past performance. And if I, for a minute, Chair, if you would allow me, you'll see this, the first column here. It refers to 2007-2008 figures. And that's full-time equivalent. Based on the data that we have, the Department of Public Works, for KZN, we said they have created 11,700 work opportunities. And the payment threshold we thought for the budget that they have commanded would have been 6,700 or almost 6,000. Now, if we move over to what we, when, at that time we didn't have an incentive scheme in phase one. So this is the base that we are, as the DG was talking about, that we are moving from. So if we take that into account, the base and the targets in terms of FTEs here for 2009-2010, they were looking at a total, this would actually be the rand value, 112,240 rand. They would, based on our calculations, then qualify in terms of the DORA allocation that we have, because we have to attach these things to the DORA allocation, KZN would then qualify for 84 million. Because there are three zeros missing here, everything should be scaled up with three zeros. By the same token, then, that's why the other provinces had the zeros there. And if I can, in the same breath, then answer the question with regard to Gundulashu. Gundulashu is a road maintenance program that's obviously, and by the very nature, many of these road maintenance or road building programs, they are sometimes short-term in nature. So yeah, you do get spikes, like performing very well over a period of time. When those projects come to an end, you have this, well, until then, next again, then the purpose, like...
yo-yo.
So, yeah, yo-yo effect, if you wish, yeah. So it's not that thing has happened, it's just the nature of the project that... But Gundulashu in itself is still seen as a model in terms of labor-intensive approach with regard to road building. Yeah.
I'll just make my own impressions. As I indicated that I don't have questions. Actually, my first comment would be that this is putting the bar a little bit higher in terms of what provinces should perform. I take it as a challenge that government is challenging local government to improve on capacity and implementation of service delivery. And if they can miss this opportunity where they're incentivized, when in the past they were not, well, I don't know. I would not want to be a mayor in a province or in a municipality where I couldn't take the opportunity of the incentive. Issues of EPWP being a last resort, it's for politicians to deal with it. How do we deal with the challenges of employment in the country? But we should also appreciate that the numbers are reducing.
our unemployment rate is not the same as it was 2-3 years ago. And unemployment is actually in the high occupation sectors as opposed to what we want to achieve with EPWP. So we need more of engineers and other people, not necessarily great layers and all that. So this poses a challenge to us to improve on that. But we also need to look at the new model of creating jobs. And this cannot only be done by the public sector. I said it on Monday in my speech. We need to find a way of bringing the private sector to come in and participate. They must make some commitments on how they're going to train people and how they're going to employ them at the end of the day. And this, we can only do it also with the buy-in of provinces. This cabinet presentation, the only thing that will be yield good results, I think that's where provinces will make commitments each year as to how far can they run with this program. And we should also await the report on the meetings with the SOEs. I think it's an element that we did not utilize much. This state owned enterprises started to behave as if they're the private sector. They're not owned by the state. I don't want to make that comment. I'm going to write an article about it, so I don't want to say much now. But that's something that we need to highlight about their role in EPWP in the context of a developmental state, because that's what they are. They're not just a private entity. They're maximizing profit. They're there to do more than just that. But DG, at some point we need to look at monitoring of compliance, both by local municipalities and NGOs that we go in. So we need to see that model so that members themselves, when they go out on constituents, they can also check whether indeed, I know you have a template, that's the scientific part of it, but from the political perspective, to have them to. I know this is also going to test the competitiveness of localities, which municipality can do better than which. And we'll love to monitor that. You see national feeding into the local, and they compete you to get more incentives. We will address the issue whether EPWP should run as how it was in phase one, or should it create more incentives. I think we'll do that at a political level and see definitely what it is. But it cannot block the process of what you want to achieve with this program. We've noted the issue of the revamping of railway lines. I think we will also take it at a political level. But the issue that we should also do, which we will need a report later, is the training of coordinators. The last time we checked, 60 local coordinators were supposed to be trained. We don't know how much have been trained to this far, to this extent, and having a bigger project than before. What is the state of readiness at that level? Starting from our own EPWP coordinators at the regional level, too, because in some projects there were no coordinators at all on the ground. So we need to look at that. Because if you want capacity to implement, you need to address that. We also need to look into agreements entered into by the department and NGOs on performance. We'd love to have a presentation on that matter. And we also need to evaluate who qualifies to participate in the EPWP too. That question was being asked by Honorable Huang, whether we're going to take those people who were there before, or are we going to train new ones, and what's the role of labor in terms of training, and that's where the NYLS comes in. That's why I said we shouldn't even discuss it now. We should do that later. The issue of database that members are raising, I think we should take it into cognizance and start to build our own data and maybe give them a presentation on who participated before. And we also need a presentation on technical support mechanisms that municipalities are being trained at. I think we'll need that model so that we evaluate also whether it's something that is is working or not. We also need the presentation on incentive schemes, and we also need it by province to check performance of province on the first program towards the second, so that we can be sure about capacity levels of certain provinces to implement. Honorable Khadir was saying, why is the society giving so much? Will they cope? But not cope. Will they be in a position to...
Thank you.
Will they be in the position to carry it, Honorable Blanche? They must anchor themselves into the anchoring. Huh? They must be anchoring. Okay.
Mm.
So this is just one of the few comments that I wanted to make. Thank you.
Okay, we welcome them. We'll surely work on those. And once again, thanks the committee. And to say to the committee members that we hope post-election we'll see your faces again in this committee. For me, in the last 23 months I've been with the department, it's been a joy working with this committee. And I'm sure the same sentiment can be echoed by my staff. So we also want to thank Honourable Member of the DA, Ntate Blanche, for the first time not asking a question but commending us. And as a prize, Chair, it's not part of the presentation. Some of the issues he raised about redundant assets are being handled in terms of the model. So we thank him.
That's a gift, Honourable Member.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. This is our very last meeting. We need to thank the DG for leading our call. Actually, I'm very excited. I'm holding my thumbs that the Minister of Finance should not say it's part of the economic meltdown, because if he starts like that, he's going to cut our budget. So let's go there, listen to him. Hopefully, he should say 5 billion. And Honourable Manchu, I want to see you screaming at the top of your voice if he says 5 billion.
They
say,
yes.
Me? So just one comment. I'm sure it's relevant for this committee. The cut which the overall Treasury was looking at, I think it amounted to about 30 billion or so because of the economic meltdown. And the implication on us as a department would be from 4.3 billion, we are likely to go to 3.8 billion. I'm just saying it. So we wanted to raise a question and say half a billion is a lot. But if you take half a billion and you say 36 departments, it's fair under those circumstances. We are going to
please don't say that. Did you want all that money? Please don't reduce our mood. I know, but that's why I said let's hold our thumbs,
yes,
and listen to him what he's got to say. And I also want to wish members a good constituency. It's going to be hectic. The lobbying, I know sometimes it goes to unprecedented levels, but let's do it in a professional way. And those who are coming back, I wish them well. And those who are retiring, enjoy your retirement. And those who can't make it back to the committee doesn't mean that you cannot influence the work of this committee from other committees. These are good resolutions that we've taken, and we need to follow them up. Let's wish that we can all come back and work in the same committee. I know we're not all coming back because there are those who are there. So we had a wonderful time working together. I hope the same can be said about me. I don't know. So I hope that in one way or the other we'll continue to relate, because we got married to this department in one way or the other, and it's issues. So, DG, thank you very much. I know you're still continuing. Your term of office has not yet come to an end. I see the new faces say, me, you ever, and all that. You didn't introduce him officially, as I think.
Can we allow them just to say it by voice to relate in Tawaiman?
Yeah, my name is... Semi Mashita, the new Chief of Staff in the Office of the Minister.
Mm. Chair, my name is Fred Jungo, the new MLO for the Office of the Minister.
Yeah, we're meeting at the end of the term, so we don't know whether we're still going to see each other again, but I'm hoping that we are. So
So thank you very much, honorable members. This was our last meeting, so we won't be meeting. Our very, very last. So I don't have a party for you. I don't have fun. I don't have fun. So maybe the DG can be a very nice person, you know, in a way.
Madam Chair, can I also say just very much, it has been a pleasure for me for the past almost 10 years, member of this committee. I'm also retiring. Thank you very much for your lovely...
Are you 60 already?
What you mean, boy?
Number.
We will really miss your inputs, Honorable Sydney. We had traveled together in public hearings, and we felt the fatherhood. And I think yes, indeed we did well. So thank you very much, Honorable Minister. I don't know. We need to be advised by Akona. Yeah.
Madam Chair, may I, from my side, also thank everybody around this table for the assistance you've given me, for listening to me at times, for arguing with me. It is with a sad heart that one eventually leaves Parliament, but also with a good heart that you've made so many friends, knowing that there is no animosity left between myself and yourselves, that we had good debates and that we were able to assist each other to become better people and better representatives of the nation. Thank you very much for the kind words and whatever you have for my... Thank you.
Thank you. And members who are going shouldn't be afraid to say to those who are still here, please look at these things. I think there can still be that type of communication, race issues, so that you would say this is what you contributed towards and it's coming to fruition and help. Because there's nobody who knows better. We all need one another to do better. So we always learn until the end of our time on it. Honorable,
thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to say just one thing. If there's anybody who has got a camera, we could have a photo so that at least each one of us has a photo. Is a memo of the members. Anyone?
I think Akona can organize it, so after the, can you try it?
Yeah.
Then we meet at 2 by the stairs at the chamber. Yeah, go to 2, let's meet by go to 2 at the stairs. Is that okay?
Yeah, please.
Organize the donation.
A cameraman just
inside. Somebody do connections at home office.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there nobody who still wants to say something? No? Honorable Nyange, call.
No, Chairperson, I just wanted joking to say that we always benefited from Baba Oberman's experience, the legacy as a former ANC member.
Viva!
And the Willie and the Willie story.
Yeah, story. That's it.
Cool.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would want to say farewell to our dear friends across there. May the good Lord be with them.
Oh,
all on their, on their. I mean.